gathering hymn this morning is hymn number 208, and it's also published in your order of worship. You. If you look in your bulletin at several ministry opportunities coming up this week, we have choir practice Wednesday at 6 o'clock, kids club at 6 to 6:45, and prayer and Bible study at 7. Is there anything else need to be brought up in for ministry opportunities for this week? If not, we'll see you on Wednesday night. The call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 150. I'll speak the light print, and please respond in the bold print. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals.
Let earth ring and praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray. In the name of God, who calls us to live a life of many purposes, Jesus, who selflessly gives of Himself for the benefit of others, and the Spirit who empowers us to achieve what God has set out for us to do. Amen.
Listen to these words, first of all, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And then from Galatians chapter 3, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It is always a joy when we come to celebrate Christian baptism, when one has put his or her faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this morning we come to do that. Think about the significance of baptism. It represents how we have identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, how we have died to our old way of life and have been raised to walk in newness of life. And it represents how we are incorporated into the body of Christ as we are plunged into the waters of baptism. This morning, as we practice baptism, I want you to think back to your own baptism. Think about the promises that you made to the Lord that day. Think about what you experienced that day as you were baptized into the body of Christ. Grace Harders comes this morning professing her faith in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Grace, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life?
I do.
And have you put your whole trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior to follow him as a part of his church for the rest of your life?
I do.
Then confess your faith in Jesus. In obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on this her profession of faith in him, I baptize Grace, our sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are buried with him by baptism into death, to walk with him in newness of life. Let us pray. Oh Lord, what a joy it is when one comes to follow Jesus. Father, we thank you for Grace and we pray your blessings on her. And pray that in the days and years to come, she will grow to be a strong disciple of our Lord Jesus. Bless us all, Father, as we remember our baptismal vows. And may we follow you more closely than we ever have before. In the strong name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Always there.
Okay, so
she just read, and it's a little keepsake box that was given to me by someone. But the important part is it says, good friends are people we don't always see. But we know that we have good friends. And they give us things like this to remind us of that, and I can put little keepsakes in it to remind me of them whenever I don't see them. Do we sometimes believe in things we don't see? Yeah. Well, today's story comes from the Gospel according to John, which is located where in the Bible? New Testament. And it is about the day that they were, the disciples were, it was shortly after Easter, and the disciples were in the room, minus one person. One of the disciples wasn't there, and that was the disciple Thomas. Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection, but Thomas wasn't there. And you know what Thomas said? I won't believe it till I see it, and I can put my hands in the holes in his, I can put my fingers in the holes in his hands, and in the side where they cut the spear into Jesus' side. But all the other disciples believed. So the next time that they appeared, Thomas was there when Jesus appeared. And he said, blessed are those who believe even if they haven't seen me. So there are things we don't see, right, but we believe in. Do we have? Can we see the wind outside? No, but it's there, right? We can feel it. In fact, it's kind of windy today. You can definitely feel when you walk outside that wind breezing through the air. We don't always see the stars in the sky, but they're always there. I can't see all my friends because they may not live in Murfreesboro, right? That doesn't mean they're not there. And we know one thing. We don't see Jesus, but we know he's always there for us, right? So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for things we can see, but we also thank you for things we can't see. We know that even if we can't see you, we believe in you. We know you are always there for us, and you will always love us. In your son's name, amen. Amen.
Good morning. Our Acts lesson this morning comes from Acts 5, verses 27 through 32. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as a leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Our hymn of thanksgiving is Rejoice, the Lord is King, number 215. 215.
Thank you.
pray. Almighty Father, you showed us your generous grace and mercy when you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus, to show us your ways and to die on the cross for us. Though he was rich, for our sake he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. You showed us your power when you raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand in glory. Create and nurture this kind of generosity in us, Lord, that just as he gave himself for us, we might first give ourselves and then what you've blessed us with to the work of your kingdom. And demonstrate your power among us as you multiply what is given for the accomplishment of your redemptive purpose in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this second Sunday of Easter is a joyful day for us, isn't it? With baptism, with worship, with hearing God's word, praying together, and now we come to offer our prayers together. As we do, we want to pray especially for the family of Myrtle Davis, who passed away this week. Also prayers for Randy and Cindy Copeland and Gary Brett and Bonnie Jenkins. Continue to pray for Genevieve Broadhead, who is improving as she's going through her therapy, and she's doing some better, and we're grateful for that. There are others on our hearts and minds that we want to pray for as well. And so let's join together. One other that I want to mention. Some of you will remember Dr. Ron Cava, who preached at my installation service. His wife's mother passed away this morning, and so please remember them as well. So let's join together in prayer. I'll offer our prayer, and then we will close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. O Lord, our God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, we come to you in gratitude for all that you've done for us, especially the mercy and grace that you've shown us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that in him you've accomplished what you had planned and prepared from the very beginning, as you called your servant Abraham and his descendants, redeeming your people Israel from their slavery in Egypt, and through them preparing the way and sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as your promised Messiah and Savior. We thank you that in him and through his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his victorious resurrection, you have redeemed a people for yourself from all the nations of the world, bringing us together as your church throughout the world. We thank you for the temporal blessings you lavish on us as well, health and healing, endurance in our trials, provision for our needs. Lord, there are so many ways that you bless us, and we give you thanks for them. We pray that you would hear us, Lord, as we bring our petitions and our intercessions to you along with our thanksgivings. We pray, Father, for peace and justice in our world. We know that there is so much that is going on in so many different parts of the world. We know that people are suffering because of wars, because of oppression and persecution. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring those to an end and that there would be peace and justice. We pray for your church throughout the world and in this place, Lord, asking for you to work to advance your kingdom, to bring those who don't know you to know you, to work your will and your purpose in and through your church. Father, we pray that you would help us as a local congregation to be a shining light to the community around us. And Father, that through that, there would be the opportunity to share the good news of Christ and that many would turn to you. We pray, Lord, for our country, our state, our town, for all of our civil leaders, asking your wisdom, your courage to do what is right. Father, guide them as they lead us. And Lord, for those who suffer and for those who grieve, we ask special comfort and grace. Lord, we know that there are many who are suffering physical need because of health challenges or injuries. Lord, because of chronic illness, some who may be facing difficult diagnoses, some, Lord, who are going through treatment, we ask your help for them and pray that they would be keenly aware of your presence with them and of your help for them. And Lord, for those in spiritual and emotional need who are suffering and need your touch, we ask your help for them. Father, we pray for our children and our youth, for their parents, their teachers, and those who guide them. We pray, Lord, that you will help them to trust in you, help them to become strong disciples of Jesus. And Lord, that they would live as he would have us to live, and that their lives would honor and glorify him and be blessed by your mercy and grace. And Lord, for our college students, we pray the same thing. And for the students, faculty, staff, and administration at Chowan, be with them, Lord. Help them always to do what would be to your glory and your honor. Lord, we do pray for those who don't know you and ask that you would work in their lives to bring them to you. And Father, for those who know you but may not be walking with you as they should, that you would draw them back as well. Father, it is a special time of worship for us this morning, and we are grateful for it. And we pray that in this time you would be honored and glorified, and that your people would be built up and strengthened. And Lord, that your name would go forth and your gospel would go forth. So we pray now, Lord, that your will be done in all things. And may all glory be to you in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, who was dead but is alive, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, is one God forever and ever. So hear us now as we lift our prayers in the words of that prayer he taught us, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our text for the sermon this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray. We pray you would add a blessing to the reading of your holy word, Lord, and that you would open our minds and our hearts as we meditate on it, to see and to hear, to understand, to believe, and to act on what you say to us through it. Enlighten our eyes, Lord. Open our hearts so that we may obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On that first Easter morning, the day Jesus rose, Mary Magdalene hadn't just seen the empty tomb and the angels. She had seen Jesus, and she had gone to the disciples and she had told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them instructions that he had given her to give to them. Well, later that same day, Jesus' disciples had gathered together behind locked doors. And we can understand that, can't we? I mean, just 3 days earlier, their leader had been crucified. He had been executed because of what he was teaching and what he was doing. And so what was to keep the Jewish authorities from coming after his followers in order to try to eliminate all trace, any possible remnant of Jesus' teaching or influence? I mean, we get scared by a whole lot less, don't we? And so here they were behind locked doors. And then it happened. While the doors were locked, all of a sudden, the risen Lord Jesus is standing among them. And he says to them, "Peace be with you." Can you imagine their astonishment? Can you imagine what must have been going through their minds? But in order to show them that it was indeed Jesus himself, he reached out his hands so they could see the marks of the crucifixion. He pulled his robe back so they could see his side where they had thrust the spear in it to make sure he was indeed dead. And they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. And then he told them again, "Peace be with you." And this time he added, "As the Father has sent me, so I also am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and told them, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, it just so happened that day that of the 11 disciples that were left after Judas had betrayed Jesus, one of them wasn't there. Thomas the twin. He wasn't there that evening. We don't know why he wasn't there. He had always seemed to be a bit of a pessimist. Back in John chapter 11, when Jesus said that he was going to go to Lazarus, who was sick and was dying or had died, Thomas looked around at the rest of them and he said, "Well, let's go with him so we can die with him." I mean, you can look at that as loyalty, you can look at that as pessimism, or both, right? And then, in John chapter 14, when Jesus is telling them that he is going away, but that they know the way, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Thomas always had questions. But all that he knew right now was that Jesus was gone. He had been crucified. That evening that Jesus had appeared, he wasn't with the others. But later on, he was with the others. We don't know if it was that same night or if it was later in the week. And as pessimistic as he was also incredibly loyal. And so something had drawn him to be with these fellow followers of Jesus. And so when he finally got there later that evening or sometime later that week, the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord." And Thomas's response was not just pessimistic. Now he was Thomas the skeptic. He told the others, "Unless I see the print of the nails in his hand, and I take my finger and put it in the mark of the nail, and I take my hand and thrust it up into the wound in his side, I will not believe." That's pretty adamant, isn't it? That's pretty adamant. Well, he was just skeptical. He was skeptical about it. Even though he had fled, he knew what he had seen happen to Jesus. It was from a distance, but he had seen him hanging on the cross, battered and beaten, probably almost beyond recognition. He knew that they had taken him down and put him in a tomb, and the tomb had been sealed. And to say now that Jesus was alive again, That was just too good to be true. It had to be his ghost or something. It couldn't be Jesus really alive again. Dead men just don't come back to life. But then a week later, at another gathering of the disciples, this time Thomas was there. Something had drawn him back. And again, they were meeting behind locked doors. And once again, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And then something amazing happened. After he greeted them all, "Peace be with you," he looked Thomas in the eye. Doubting Thomas. Maybe we should call him skeptical Thomas or agnostic Thomas. Jesus looked him in the eye, and then he reached out his hand. He said, "Thomas, put your finger here." He pulled back his cloak. "Thomas, put your hand here. Don't doubt, but believe." And suddenly Thomas's doubt and skepticism melted away. Notice he didn't have to touch the nail prints. He didn't have to put his hand in Jesus' side. It was enough that the risen Lord had come to him. And he responded with what is one of the most emphatic declarations of Jesus' divinity in all of Scripture. He said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Thomas, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." To his 10 scared disciples, Jesus spoke peace. And he demonstrated to them that he was indeed the same Jesus who had died but now had been raised, never to die again. And he gave them a commission to continue his mission in the world, sharing in the work that the Father sent him to accomplish. And he empowered them for his mission with the Holy Spirit and the authority to forgive or retain sins. But to his skeptical disciple, Thomas, who wasn't there the first time Jesus came, Jesus gave him a week, and then he came back while he was there to show himself specifically to him. And to the skeptic, he spoke peace. And he then lovingly demonstrated to him that he was indeed the same Jesus who had died, and he invited him to do just what he said he had to do in order to believe. And then he said, "Do not doubt, but believe." In other words, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples with peace and proof. And when they experienced his presence, they no longer needed proof. Isn't that amazing? Once he was there among them, there was no need for proof. John tells us in his summary in verses 30 and 31 that these selected signs are recorded in order to encourage belief in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is the same Jesus who had died, and he had risen. And so today, through the apostolic witness that we have in Scripture, Jesus brings peace and life to all who trust in him. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter where they're from, if they'll put their faith in him, he gives peace and life. You see, our faith is based on both historical fact and eternal reality. We don't ask people to believe based on philosophical explanation or speculation or fables. No, Jesus of Nazareth was a historical figure. He lived and was crucified by the order of the Roman procurator Pontius Pilate. And these facts are not only contained in Scripture, but they are acknowledged, those facts are acknowledged in both Jewish and Roman historical writings, that there was a man named Jesus who was thought to be the Messiah who was crucified by Pontius Pilate. There is historical witness to that in other sources. He was raised from the dead by God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was seen and witnessed by his followers on numerous occasions. Now, sometimes it was one or two of them. Sometimes it was the group of the disciples. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there was one time that he appeared to 500 of his followers at one time. They were all there together and he appeared to them. Hard to have a group hallucination like that with that many. But he appeared to them. And later on, he even appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus and turned him around. Jesus appeared. There were multiple witnesses. Indeed, there was a multitude of witnesses individually and corporately, not only to Jesus' life and death, but also to his appearances after his resurrection. And so what we have in the New Testament then is the apostolic eyewitness that has been passed down about Jesus Christ. It comes to us in Scripture and we receive it and pass it on. Jesus clearly demonstrated to his followers after his death and resurrection that he was the same person, and that he was truly risen and not a ghost. And there is continuity in his existence before and after his resurrection. But yet there was also a different quality of his existence after the resurrection. He was no longer bound by time and space, so that when the door is locked, he can be in the room. What he experienced was a genuine resurrection, not a resuscitation. It wasn't that he was almost dead when they put him in the tomb and then somehow he came back. He was really, really dead, and he rose from the dead. Now, these are historical facts, but they're also eternal realities, and together they form the basis of our faith. Though we haven't seen him with our own physical eyes, we accept the testimony of those who have, and we put our faith in him. And in doing so, we are incredibly blessed. But don't miss this. Just as the Father sent him, Jesus has sent us into the world to bear witness about who he is and what he has done. He has sent and he's empowered us to share in his mission of proclaiming his good news to the scared and the skeptic and everyone else. We must pass on this good news we've received so that others who haven't seen may yet come to believe, and so that believers may grow in faith as we all find life in his name. Now, before we can bear witness to this good news, we must really believe it. And yet so often in our lives as individuals, in our life together as a congregation, we're tempted to be scared or skeptical or both. Sometimes when we're facing trials or difficulties like sickness or grief or financial crisis or strained or broken relationships, we get scared. We begin to wonder, why is God letting this happen? Why isn't he doing something about it? Doubts begin to arise and fears begin to dismay. But it's precisely in those moments that we must cling for dear life to Christ's victory through his death and resurrection. We must remember that he went through suffering and death laying down his life for us before he took it up again in resurrection. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He said, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt like we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." That's the difference resurrection makes. It's when things are darkest and at their worst that we learn to rely most fully on God who raises the dead. Just as Golgotha's sorrow gave way to Easter morning, so our suffering gives way to the hope that God is working in all our circumstances to accomplish His purpose through His resurrection power that's already at work in us and that will raise us with Christ at the last day. And that's true for our life together as a church as well. Because when we face uncertainty in times of trial or transition, it's easy to fall into fear or to become skeptical about how God is working in the midst of it all. But when we understand that ours is a resurrection faith and that God is in control and He's working to bring about something that's beyond what we can see with our physical eyes, our fears begin to fade and our skepticism gives way to quiet trust. We remember that just as John saw in his vision of the glorified Christ in Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, our risen Lord Jesus is present among His churches, because ultimately, when we really believe in the God who raises the dead and in Jesus Christ, His crucified but risen Son, it will make a difference in how we live and how we live our life together as the family of God. His resurrection power is indeed good news to the scared and to the skeptical. The German theologian Wolfhart Pannenberg, in a conversation with Prism magazine, put it this way: "The evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. First, it is a very unusual event. And second, if you believe it happened, you have to change the way you live." Did you hear the second one? If you really believe that it happened, you have to change the way you live. Or, as the conductor in the children's Christmas movie The Polar Express put it, "Sometimes seeing is believing. And sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we can't see." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Amen. Down through the ages, the church has often associated that confession of faith that's commonly known as the Apostles' Creed with baptism. And so since we've had a baptism this morning, I think it's most appropriate that we share in confessing our faith with the Apostles' Creed. Would you join me? It's printed in our order of worship. "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." This morning, as we sing our hymn of response, number 256, perhaps God is speaking to you. Maybe you have been scared or skeptical, and today he is speaking to you about trusting in him. Whether that's to recommit your life to Christ, or whether it's to put your faith in him to follow him as your Lord and Savior, would you do that today? And as you make that commitment, if you need to come and share it, we invite you to do so. And if you're putting your faith in Christ, we encourage you to come and let us know, let others know about your profession of faith and to follow the Lord in baptism and church membership. Would you stand as we sing number 256? In this envelope, we have a certificate of your baptism and also a copy of today's service. We are so proud of you and so thankful for you and pray God's blessings on you. Mm-hmm. And if you'll just kind of hang around at the front after the service, I'm sure some folks would like to come speak to you, okay? All right, God bless you. Thank you. It's so good to have all of you here today. It has been a wonderful day of worship, and I know that a number of Grace's family members are here, some grandparents, others, and we are so glad that y'all are able to be here to celebrate with her and other guests that we have in our service. Thank you for being a part of our worship. We invite you to come back anytime. So let's join together in prayer now. Father, how grateful we are for all that we have shared in today as we have worshiped you. We pray, Father, that you would bless Grace in her walk with you, that you would help us all, Lord, to renew our commitment to be walking with Christ as our Lord. Father, as we go forward, we pray that you will help us always to bear a winsome witness to the world around us for him. Mm-hmm. And so go and tell the good news. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And as our risen Savior, he brings peace and life to all who believe in him. So receive his grace and renewal as you follow him as Lord. And as you follow him, may the grace and peace of the risen Lord be with you all. Amen.